The following is a recording of a live questions and answers session that took place on Sunday, October 7th, 2012.
Hello and welcome in to eBible Fellowship Questions and Answers Time, where you can interact with us with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker, Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Welcome, once again, to our Sunday afternoon question and answer. And everyone is welcome to share whatever on your mind by contacting us in the ways that were just outlined, and I'll try to respond by turning to the Bible. Now, at this point, we're going to open up the room, and let's go to the first person on the phone. Welcome to our question and answer today. Hello.
In the day of judgment, and we know all of the things that we're learning now, I came across a verse, and I can't remember. I was trying to find it real quick here, but I can't find it, where it says that he who has shall more be given, and to him that has not shall it be taken away. And what I'm getting at is it seems as though, like with my spouse, the things that she's still in the church and she's still, you know, very adamantly against what I'm doing and what I'm believing. And it almost seems like the things that she's saying now are making me believe that the faith that she did have is almost being removed from her because of what we're saying has happened. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Well, we can expect people who had association with the gospel to continue to go further astray from the truths of the Word of God. And if anyone's in the church, well, they have no bearing. They have no really sight, as God has blinded the churches and congregations, and so it's all dependent on which church it is and the influence of individuals within the congregation, the teaching of that particular denomination concerning the degree that people can go afield. And so I wouldn't have any expectation for anyone that I knew was in the church. Now, what's even more concerning at this time is people who were out of the church and may remain outside of the church, and yet they are taking a position that either nothing happened or it's just all completely wrong. And I've noticed that individuals that we were hand in hand with have actually gone in such a way, gone backward, I would say, in such a way that it's amazing. I saw one person who for years and years and years he said that he was understanding all these things and he would argue these things, and in a matter of a couple of days he's become one of the harshest critics, and he reminds me very much of people who would make those Family Radio Is Wrong websites in the force of the hostility. So that's a little amazing, but we're living in a time of severe testing. Now, that last verse that we were looking at in Isaiah 24, glorify ye Jehovah in the fires. Part of that is referring to the fiery trial that is trying us all. And the point of the trial is to find out what we're made of. Are we gold, silver, and precious stones, or are we wood, hay, and stubble? And that means there is intense pressure being put upon each of us. No one is able to escape this. You cannot go anywhere to escape this in all the earth. The fire of judgment is on those in the churches. The fire of judgment is on those in the world. And the fiery trial is upon all true believers. So there are fires that are everywhere, and this fire is severely trying each of us, and whatever is the truth of our spiritual condition will be shown. and come to light. And so if it so happens, if someone's a true believer, then they will continue. They will endure and be steadfast. And others that were never believers will not. But thank you for bringing up that verse and your question. Let's go to the next person. Welcome to our question and answer today.
Yes, good morning, Chris. Going back to the topic of one taking the position that, nothing happened on May 21st, and then you said that, well, if that position is taken, well, then we can start questioning other things, and you mentioned a long list of things. And then you said that can cause confusion to the hearers. So I'd like you to read, please, Isaiah 55, verse 9 through 11, and we'll take a look at 1 Corinthians also.
Isaiah 55, 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. Excuse me?
Verse 8.
Oh, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
And also, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
1 Corinthians 14.
Verse 33 and just verse 40.
Okay. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let all things be done decently and in order.
The comment, please.
Well, I appreciate the verse, well, all of them, but especially in Isaiah 55, that the Lord sends forth his word to accomplish his purpose. And, you know, I know we're to stay in the Bible, but we also have to look at the ministry of family radio and look at the outstanding degree of faithfulness it had maintained for 50 years, and how God had blessed it. And they did not involve themselves in merchandising the gospel. They didn't sell airtime. It was all listener supported, and God blessed them, and they grew and grew until they could blanket the earth with their radio signals. And I've been to a lot of Bible conferences and family radio events over the years, and many times I've heard speakers, Mr. Camping and others, that would convey stories of how carefully they were using the funds that God had provided through the listeners. And story after story would be, for instance, in trying to get a printer for tracks in a overseas city, how they would come across, just stumble upon someone who would give them the lowest price imaginable, like a penny and a half a track. And I heard that story in city after city, repeated again and again, or many other stories related to family radio, how carefully, yet how frugal they were, but also how the hand of God was involved in making sure they were getting the maximum out of the last penny. And I always was struck by that. And now it came time, the last couple of years leading up to May 21, when Family Radio made a decision, look, the Bible is clear. God has locked this date in. We're going to use all of our resources, all of our funds, and we're going to go for broke. We're going to blanket the earth as much as possible with advertising. And so millions and millions of dollars, I don't know the total amount, but I know they were spent wisely. And the same mindset was used to get as much possible coverage for the funds as was possible. And since eBible was involved in setting up many of these things around the world, I'm familiar with just how far and wide Family Radio was able to reach. And there is no way that without God's assistance, that the message of Judgment Day coming on May 21 could have spread the way it did and reached all the nations of the earth in the way that it did. And so then that day came, and it did not happen as we had thought. We did have some mistakes. We were incorrect about a physical earthquake. We were incorrect about a physical destruction. But the main thing that was blanketed to the world was Judgment Day. That was on the billboards. That was the main message, is on this day, and you have up until that point to become saved. And that message was shared all over the earth. And again, the resources and the funds of Family Radio were used, where almost all of them were used, and yet we're expected to believe that God, who carefully managed, he was the CEO, remember, he was the one who opened up all these doors. He was the one that consistently blessed them for 50 years, that finally at the last, oh, he just got it wrong, or Family Radio just got it wrong. There's no way possible that I believe that. I am certain, as well as I think God's people are certain, who hear the voice of Christ, it was the will of God. It accomplished his purpose, and it did not return void. It did manage to bring about the salvation of all the elect, the great multitude, and it did tell the world that Judgment Day was coming, thereby giving them the warning they had to get right with God. And then Judgment Day did come, according as it was declared, although with some things that were incorrect, that we just were wrong about and couldn't learn until later. And then and now, though, we're clarifying those and we're making correction. And so this is what God wanted to happen, because it also perfectly set up the snare to come upon all the world that Luke 21 talks about, and it set up the fiery trial for all the believers. Well, lo and behold, we're still here, and many who perhaps weren't trusting the word of God at all, they were just going on the reputation of a ministry, and they don't understand spiritual things. When they hear a spiritual judgment came, it's like no judgment. If they can't see it, they don't believe it. And so this is the test that the Lord has established. His people trust his word. His word is comforting and verifying what he has done. Okay, we had a little Skype problem, but if anyone else has a question, we do have another person. Let's go to the next person on the phones. Welcome to our Sunday afternoon question and answer.
Hi, Chris. How are you able to hear me?
Very good. You sound very clear. Please go ahead.
Thank you again for an excellent study. May we look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11?
Sure. Jeremiah 29 and verses 10 and 11. For thus saith Jehovah, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
We know that salvation ended when the Great Tribulation ended on May 21 last year. I was having difficulty fitting this verse into that understanding. And I checked that word after, and it is also translated as the word portion. Very interesting. So I think we could understand this as saying that after a portion of the 70 years or the Great Tribulation, after a portion of the past, then there would be salvation, the latter rains, and in 1994. Had you looked at this before?
Yes, I have. Where it says after 7 years be accomplished at Babylon, God does speak of a period of time after the 70 years. And that 70 years typifies the Great Tribulation. For instance, you can read Isaiah 23, and it speaks twice after 70 years. And here where it said God is speaking to the elect after 70 years, I'll perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Now, keep in mind that this is using the historical illustration of the captivity of the Jews. After 70 years, they were released and able to go back to Jerusalem. And that's the picture spiritually. The land of Israel or Jerusalem is the kingdom of God. So it's language indicating that all the elect became saved. And in a spiritual sense, we are part of the kingdom of God. We're citizens there. And so it is just indicating that the land that was desolate, that's the picture of the judgment, is now inhabited by God with his people. For instance, there's several verses that use this kind of language. We read a couple of them earlier, but let's see. In Joel chapter 3, it speaks of the sun and moon and star being darkened and the stars withdrawing their shining. And it says in verse 17, so shall ye know that I am Jehovah your God dwelling in Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem. And both Zion and Jerusalem spiritually represent the believers. My holy mountain, then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore, because it's comprised of only the elect. And that's the idea that's in view in Jeremiah 29.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Well, thank you for those verses. And let's go to the next person online. Welcome to our Sunday afternoon question and answer.
Good afternoon, brother. You've been talking about in the study of Samuel entering through the straight gate, and here today also in Isaiah in chapter 25, I guess, in verse 14, for making proclamation and lifting up voice to the Lord. Could you read also Micah 2, 12 and 13? Verses 12 and 13.
Micah 2 and verses 12 and 13 says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. And that would be Jacob is used to illustrate the elect. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise. By reason of the multitude of men, the breakers come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and Jehovah on the head of them. You want me to just discuss this, or do you have a question about it?
Yes, just discuss it, because it seems to encompass much of what you've been sharing with us the past few weeks.
Well, yeah, thank you for bringing these verses up. We know, for instance, in John 21, where the Lord Jesus makes a point after the 153 fish, a great multitude of fish are brought to him, and that identifies with the great catch of men during the Great Tribulation. And then afterwards, Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. And here we find the elect typified by this flock of sheep. And they've passed through the gate with the king, that would be the Lord Jesus, before them and Jehovah on the head of them. Well, in Revelation 22, in the context of verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And that's referring to our time. And then the next verse is that verse that says, let the filthy be filthy still and the righteous righteous still. That is, everyone's spiritual condition is established by God and will not change. That in this context, it says in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, and only those that are given a new heart do them according to God's will perfectly, that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Again, this relates to the last caller and the verses in Jeremiah. We return to the land. We've entered into the kingdom of God when God, since God has already completed saving all of the elect, all of Jacob, now he has built his temple or built his city, Jerusalem, and he dwells in the midst, since he is indwelling each child of God, either if they're in heaven or all the elect on the earth. Everything is complete except for the final end of all things. And notice when we read that they enter in through the gates in the city in verse 14, it says in verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, someone would need to do a very in-depth Bible study in order to explain who are these that are without, just where are they, why are they without, how long will they be there, in order to help us to understand what is going on, because the Bible teaches annihilation. And so if we've entered into the gates of the city, why are there individuals, and even though it says dogs, if you're a murderer, an idolater, you're a person. That's men who commit those sins and are completely identified with those sins. And where are they? And why are they out there? And what is going on? Now, this is a major problem for anyone that says Judgment Day didn't take place on May 21 and who says, well, the world will continue until Christ comes and then that's it. Well, then how do you explain these individuals without the city? And yet we have an answer. We have spiritually entered into the kingdom of God and without, cast out into outer darkness. Because the world has become dark, are all of the end of the people, the earth, that it did not become saved. They are without the kingdom of God. And so these verses do tie in and relate to one another. But thank you for bringing up those verses in Micah. And let's go to the next person. Today, welcome to our Sunday afternoon question and answer.
Our first question comes from Bob. Strong's Hebrew number 224 is the plural of fires. Strong's Hebrew number 217. Oh, wait, maybe it's Urim. Sorry. Urim is in Exodus 28, verse 30, and it's in six other places. Could you please explain if there is a tie-in?
Yes. It says in Exodus 28:30, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before Jehovah. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before Jehovah continually. There is a very close relationship between the word fires, Strong's 2:17, the Hebrew word translated as Urim, U-R-I-M. It's actually a transliteration of the Hebrew word that we read about a few times in the Bible, and it is said to be the plural of 2:17. Even though we have the plural in Isaiah 24, and the word fires or fire, it's translated as fire singular every other place, but fire is plural in Isaiah 24. And when you compare the word we have in Isaiah 24 with this word Urim, you'll find that it is slightly different. So it's very closely related, but I wouldn't say it's the plural form, since we have the plural form in Isaiah 24, verse 15. But it's interesting how this word Urim is used, but I couldn't really discuss the association or go into any kind of detail on how God uses this word Urim. But thank you for your question, and let's go to the next question on Pal Talk.
If it's not too much trouble, I am interested in some passages in Isaiah. It says, I'm curious about verse 13, ye that are far off, and verse 17, the land that is very far off. Isaiah 33 is the chapter.
Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Verse 17, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. No, I'm sorry, I haven't looked at this passage, so I wouldn't be able to help you at all.
Okay. Another question is, how can we help others who are without understanding and may also be true believers if we follow this rule? I understand that we are not to sow seed in the judgment day period, but we still must stand to proclaim the truth of God's word. The gospel will always be here to light the world until the end.
Well, I'm glad you asked this because, you know, there is no prohibition against sharing truth. Sometimes a statement is made, well, we have to share the gospel. And, you know, the fact is the gospel we can define as the truth of what the Bible declares. And believers have always been called upon to share the gospel, whatever the truth that God has revealed to us. And so we share all the information we know. There is no problem at all, no law against that. Now, when it says we're not to sow seed upon a land experiencing fire and brimstone, that's a different matter. That is actually instructing us we're not to share information that would give anyone a false sense of encouragement that God is still saving. And we're not to send forth the gospel. We're not to meet online or develop a track that would encourage people to go to God because he might save you today because he's merciful. No, that's where the stipulation comes in. We're not to sow seed because it's judgment day. But we can do all those things. We can meet in a group like this. You could have a radio station and broadcast truth. You can develop a track, any kind of literature that is truthful and aligned with what God is opening up at this time in these days after the tribulation. There is no stipulation against any of that. So we can share with other believers and we can tell them this is what the Bible says. This is the truth. And we're always to share the truth. There's nothing that's against that. But thank you for that good question. And is there another question from Pal Talk?
Yes. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 13, this woman of Endor spiritually see the believers being taken from the earth. The verse mentioned in particular is verse 13 of 1 Samuel 28.
And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. No, she didn't see any believers ascending out of the earth. It's the same thing as with Samuel. The believers don't come. Someone may be thinking since believers are on the earth, but this is saying out of the earth. It's like coming out of the ground. Believers don't come from that direction. And Samuel, who's a true believer, didn't come from below. When a believer dies like Samuel, he goes to be with the Lord in heaven above. And this woman, I don't know what she saw. Perhaps she saw some things like this, but she was under the power of Satan. And nothing could be trusted that she saw. This wasn't coming from God, even though God recorded it and it's part of the Word of God. This has to do with Satan and all of his shenanigans, all the things that we see in the churches today, where people say they have visions and dreams and who knows what they're seeing, but it has nothing to do with true believers. These gods coming out of the earth or ascending out of the earth are not true believers. If you want to find a verse that speaks of true believers ascending, and you can go to John, where the Lord Jesus, in speaking to Nathanael, says you will see angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and there. When a person becomes saved, immediately he ascends in the sense that he is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and then recommissioned or given a commission, the task of bringing the gospel to the world. And so as an angel or a messenger, he descends. He hasn't gone anywhere, but it's all spiritual language indicating a person became saved and now is given the task to carry the gospel, which interestingly enough, in Revelation, we find in Revelation 11 language that also uses ascending. It says in Revelation 11, verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. But there is no descent. It's the same word that Jesus says, angels of God ascend and descend. Here, I think it's referring to the elect, all those that became saved right as Judgment Day came about, and they ascended, but they were not commissioned to go back to earth and send forth the gospel any longer as messengers. That's why we read of they ascended up to heaven. Well, all the elect ascend up to heaven when they become saved. and are seated in heavenly places in Christ. It's not referring to the rapture, but they ascended up in a cloud, as the cloud refers to the word of God, especially as it relates to judgment day here. But thank you for that question. And we'll take one more question today before we continue on with our online fellowship.
Yes. Unprofitable asks, what was the significance and spiritual meaning of the children of Israel taking the bones of Joseph with them when they left Egypt?
That's a good question, because Joseph had told them to do that. Actually, we read a concise statement about it in Hebrews 11. It says in verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Don't forget my bones. And I think that this relates to the body of believers, as Joseph is a type of Christ, and the believers become flesh of his flesh and bones of his bones. Now, let me go back to Genesis 50. Let me read this too. Joseph says in verse 25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So the bones are representing the elect of God, part of the body of Christ, bone of his bone. And so when God visits, when he comes in judgment and completes his salvation, finally, he will bring out the bones of all the living Israelites who were delivered from Egypt. They came out and crossed the Red Sea, and the bones of Joseph, I think, would possibly relate to the dead in Christ. And those bones came out of Egypt, and those dead bones also went through the Red Sea, just like the living. And so I think it relates to that idea that God will save all of his people when he finally ends this day of judgment. He'll take all the living that are alive upon the earth and all the dead that have previously died in Christ will also rise up as we leave this world and enter into the new heaven and new earth. But thank you for that question, and I'd like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments this afternoon. We're going to continue on with our Sunday afternoon worship. If you're available, please join us during the week as we continue in our study of the book of 1 Samuel. But for now, I'll say good afternoon, and Michael will come back onto the mic, and we'll continue with our Sunday worship.